edifying. What an interesting word. It means as well to as edifying or making something right. It means to build. It's made up of two Greek words, douma, which means to build, oikos, which means a dwelling. But when you put them both together and get the word edifying, it is oikodouma, which means architecture. So you become an architect in building the many-membered body of Christ, which is the temple in these end days, the family of God. And you happen to be a member of that. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1, as you're turning there, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. You know, nobody sometimes realizes it, but everybody has a calling. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. God has a purpose for everyone. That's why He created everyone different. You're unique. And when God calls, He gives gifts. And naturally, we're approaching that time in history, the history of the fig tree, that many people are going to exercise that gift God gives their calling. To, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All these things are pretty tough. I mean, you know, you got some buddies that it's hard to love them sometimes. I mean, it just really is. But you can overcome that. Okay. And the same way with unity in the Spirit, that's pretty easy to keep because that's the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. That's not difficult to follow. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Christ is all these things. That's not difficult. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And there you have the chain of authority, and from coming right down from Almighty God to Almighty God. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace, that's love and understanding, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He knows what it is you need to do, and He knows what gift to give you. And that gift, as you've heard me say before in the Greek tongue, is charisma. And you have charisma to accomplish that. I can put it a different way in modern English. You got it. And people know whether it is from God or not. Wherefore He saith, when He ascendeth up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. There's no gender in that, both men and women. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? 10, He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He does fill all things. Have you read about Him? Have you read what He's taught? Have you walked with Him basically in your imagination as He taught and preached and went forward issuing these gifts? And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers are exactly the same. Verse 12, here's why we came here. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, there's our word, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, that word edifying, you could just pass off, well, that's honor. No, 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 no. What did I say? It's two Greek words, douma. That means a building or to build. And oikos means a dwelling or a home. It's your home. And okaduma means architecture. So you become an architect in reading the blueprint, unraveling the blueprint of the house of God, in fortifying, and for what purpose? For the edifying or the building, the architecture of the body of Christ. That's the many-membered body. That's each of you building, gifted, and serving the living God. 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of fullness in Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And we're coming into a time where you're going to see more and more of that. They're going to say, well, you don't have to study the Bible. That's old-fashioned. Well, yeah, it's old-fashioned. If you love eternal life, that's where you want to be, though. You know, a lot of these newcomers, I open their Word, and it doesn't read like the manuscripts. Somebody's been at work. A little change here and a little change there. Most people wouldn't notice it, but you should. But the easiest way to overcome all that is to stick with what you know is the Word of God backed up by the Masoret, where you can count on it. You don't have to wonder, well, did they do this, that, or the other? Because the deceitful ones are more and more and more. You're going to find a lot more of them than you are truth seekers like yourself. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That's who is our head? Christ is. And we're building up the many-membered body. I have seen it grow through the years with the simple truth welding together souls, friends, and really family. I mean, the family of God. And edifying, that means building the architecture work of reading the blueprint of the design, the building itself, which is the body of Christ, and watching people work in that and being blessed with success. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 16, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase, that's blessings, of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That word edifying again, that same Greek word, okadumas, which is to say, the very architecture of creating love in the body and strengthening that body. And he that brought that love more than anyone is he who paid the price that we have this table. And he asked you to participate, to take part in it, in the edifying. That is to say, the architecture, the building, and the dwelling. Put all that together. Dwelling in the very many-membered body of Christ. Receiving the blessings on high of one God, one Savior, one Spirit. And there's only one plan, and that's the plan of the living God. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not among as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And he continues on in this chapter, Paul does, and teaching both Gentile and those of the house of Israel. And let's pick it up down in verse 26 for the sake of time, same subject. Verse 26, be ye not angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, always work out your anger before you go to sleep at night. Don't sleep on anger. It's just not a good thing. If somebody else wants to be angry, hey, let them enjoy it. You don't need it. If you want God's blessings, if you want Him to give you more truth, you'll stay in that oneness, which is the family of God, and receive the anointing that He does to give success to those that are architects, that are building the family of God in this very generation. How fascinating it is. Don't let anger dwell with you. Neither give place to the devil. Hey, he'll eat you. You know what? Satan, who do you think he's against? Those that he's got eating out of his hand? You think he's going to give them a hard time? No, he's going to give you that hate him. That is to say, that struggle against him. You're the ones he's going to give trouble. You know what? He knows your every weakness. And we have them. Isn't that a shame? But we do. I don't know what mine is, but I guess I've got one. I'm not going to tell it, even if I could think of one right at the minute. But our Father gives us the power and the authority to overcome the devil. You don't have to put up with it. I mean, put him where he belongs. You have the authority. Do it. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Be productive. Unfortunately, in this generation, we've been misled, and it's real hard to be productive when you're handcuffed, when you're not free to really loosen up and do it the good old American way because of bonds and orders and regulations. And I'm going to insert this. I've always loved farming, been interested in farming. Do you know that there are certain places that farmers can't? I said, what do you use, a one-way or a mow board? That's a way of breaking soil. He said, oh, you can't break the soil anymore. What? I said, if I own the land and I have a mow board, I'm going to plow my land. You know? But I guess that gets to be pretty bad stuff anymore, you know. But they let these willows in the wind tell them they have no conception of farming. They don't know what they're talking about. A farmer owns the soil. He knows how to take care of it. It's his. If he doesn't take care of it, he loses it. And you let some official come along with a clipboard, you know. And anyway, back to the subject. They got to stop stealing, okay? And steal no more. Verse 29, this is why we came here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that's architecture, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, that it brings love and understanding and builds up. That's why the word means to build, or a dwelling, or an architect, to design, to interpret, and be at home in the very Word of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You don't need it. Life's too short. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That doesn't mean you have to let people walk on you. Don't do that. But being kind-hearted, anybody that wants to walk on you is not a friend. probably doesn't even belong in that family of God. So you be the judge. God gives you spiritual discernment. But there you have that word, edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Why? Because it converts them. They hear that truth, they want it, because it strengthens them. Now turn with me to chapter 2 of this same book, Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19. And we continue again. Chapter 2, 19, Ephesians. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built, here's our word now, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, this word building, guess what it is in the Greek tongue? It's okadumas. It's the same word as edifying. Okay. It means to whom all that edifying has built this building that is fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. And beloved, that's what you have in one of God's elect's family. It is the many-membered body is a holy temple unto the Lord. It is a building. It is a righteous building, though it may have faults at times. It is a righteous building that is fitly together. It belongs. 22, in whom ye also are builded, okadoma, the architect, together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so it is. God dwells there. That's why you receive such a blessing when you come to this table. That Father touches you. That he enjoys taking this with you. He will soon take it with us all new again. Now, for every good thing, we always have at this generation something we need to be aware of. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 1. You all should be familiar with this chapter. This is where Christ was leaving Jerusalem for one of the last times. And what does he say? And as he went, verse 1, and as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. Guess what that word buildings is? It's edifying. But I want you to stop and think for a moment. I don't want you to be fooled in these end times. Who's dwelling in Jerusalem when this time referred to is referred to? The Antichrist. The one you're going to be delivered up before. So, who is this architect that has built these buildings? That's in charge there. Satan, of course. So this is the opposite of the building of God. This is the building of the enemy. Okadoma, he likes to live there too. Claims that's what it is. Then Christ would answer, verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, Seest thou these great buildings? Okadumas, you see this stuff he's got here? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I'm going to destroy it. But guess who's he's going to use to destroy it? You've read this chapter before. You know who's going to be delivered up. You know you're not to premeditate. Verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us when... This is a good question. Do you know when? Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be. When is it we're going to tear down these buildings? And Jesus answered them and began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Oh, it is so easy anymore for people to be deceived if you're not careful. You've got to stay on guard. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not yet be. And we're hearing quite a bit of wars and rumors of wars, but there's one thing you better be well aware of. They're all religious. And that makes it a big difference. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of the sorrows. This is when it's going to start happening. You're going to be delivered up. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in synagogues you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. A testimony of what? Edifying. True edifying. True architecture of the Word of God. Never changing it. Never allowing anyone else to change it, but keeping it straight on, whereby it builds. Well, how can you be sure it's built? Because God will bless it. God always blesses. You cannot out-bless God when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. He will always bless you more. Always share what He blesses you with. The truth, the knowledge, the architecture, so that people can gain from it. No, He's counting on the family a great deal. Do you understand that? They're the ones that's going to tear down the okeruma that Satan builds, the false doctrine, by allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through them. And as it is written in Luke 21, even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say. In closing, Revelation chapter 3. Verse 9. What does this mean? This is to the church of Philadelphia, one of the only ones of the seven, other than Smyrna, that Christ is pleased with. He's very pleased with this one. Verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, our brother Judah, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. That's good, to be in the family of God. Not worshiping you, but because you're at the feet of Christ and they're worshiping Him. Every knee shall bow. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. A lot of people say, yeah, that's the rapture, all right. No, it isn't. The hour of temptation is when Satan is here with his okadumas. His architecture, his way of salvation that is a sure trip to hell. And many people, there will be more people follow him than there will Christ at that moment. So be prepared for it. You've got to make a stand. But do you know something? You and God make a majority. It doesn't. If you stand with him, who can be against you? Nobody can. Now, this many-membered building, how precious it is. And he says in 11, behold, I come quickly, hold fast that thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Don't be deceived. Stay straight on. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. In other words, you are in that building. You're not only in it, you're a part of it. You're a pillar that holds it up, that is upholding in it. You've never had a more precious time to live than right now to serve Him in that capacity. of bringing down the false teachings that will soon come and are now on the way and now join us. And he shall no more go out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Do not be robbed in this generation. We're coming up on that time. That structure is being finally built. That is the false. But at the same time, on the opposite page, the many-membered body, the Okadumas, is being built as well to stand in opposition. There's one great, great, great big good news that's about that. God's on our side. Okay. That makes a big difference because we win.
The Mark of the Beast on CD.